Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium and Boomer Esiason will join us at 8 and we'll talk all things NFL this weekend, and Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots, will be with us here at 9. At some point, Wiggy, probably need an audio eulogy for Tito Jackson.
Yeah.
One of the Jackson 5.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Passed away. Do you want to handle the audio eulogy duties?
I'm a huge Jackson 5 fan. So,
yes. All right. Well, we'll
is that why Jackson isn't at work?
No, I think Jackson was just running late today, I think. But I think he's here.
Yeah. He's here.
Has he arrived, Scheim? Jackson's here?
Yes, he is okay. Present and accounted for.
All right. Excellent.
Phew.
We have some leads that remain, and those include Courtney's. Hello, Courtney.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. We talked about Tua last week a lot. My lead on Friday was that it was probably time to call it for him after watching him suffer yet another concussion on the field during Thursday Night Football. Over the weekend, reports are that Tua is not going to step away from the game and that instead he's already speaking with concussion specialists and is, you know, expected to return once his doctors clear him. I will talk to Boomer about this later on this morning. And people fall on either side of the aisle. It's, you know, well, there's a lot of money left on the table. My issue is if the doctors say, yeah, technically, Tua, you can go play again. If you get concussed again, that's going to fall on you. But yeah, you could go back out there. At what point does the NFL step in, because they're all about, you know, protecting the players and player safety, and say, no, actually, we are going to put an X on this. We do not want you to come back because it's in your best interest. And if you got to pay him what you promised him, then you've got to pay him what you promised him. Like, at this point for me, looking at Tua, looking at his young family, and watching what he's gone through on the field while my eyes are on it, and there has been a college, a high school career that Tua's gone through, and I have no idea what concussions he's suffered during those times, but three times in his NFL career where I've watched it happen on the field, and it's made me, it's taken my breath away. If you are the NFL and you care so much about player safety, it's time for you to step in and say, wait a minute, no, I don't think he can come back.
I don't think they've ever done that.
Can't right? do that. There's no way you could do that.
Well, they do it in college. So you have,
what do you mean they do it in college?
You have colleges that say to guys, you can't, this is it, you're not going to play here anymore. There was a Syracuse quarterback who uh-huh. ended up, the only reason I know this story is uh-huh. he ended up playing in D2.
Right.
And Syracuse had said to him, okay, because they played Bentley when Brees was there. And Syracuse had said to him, the kid was, he was lying in bed all day, couldn't take any light, couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Syracuse, the football program, said, we're not going to allow you to play here anymore. So he had to go and play D2. So you can... There have been examples of it. The NFL has never done it.
Yeah,
that's fine that they've never done it.
I don't know if you want the NFL to be in the business of telling people what they can and can't do health-wise.
I just think if you're the NFL, well, they've already done that, really, when it was COVID and they told people that they needed to get the vaccination.
Yeah.
So they've already stepped over that line.
Yeah.
But if you're the NFL and you're preaching to us that you care so much about player safety and over again, then I'm sorry. If you want, everybody has seen what Tua's gone
through.
But
if he's getting the okay by independent doctor, then you're basically saying to him, you can't make a living because...
Give him the money that you promised him.
But the
That's
team,
a living. If you're making over $100 million...
But the team's not going to give him the money if they know he can play.
I'm saying they should.
And I really believe that... I don't know what Tua is going to do, and I agree with Courtney. If I were advising him, I would say stop today. But the reason this is even here is because... It's the guaranteed contracts. And I believe Tua has the credibility both with the Alabama fan base and college playing for the Dolphins in the NFL. If he today said, I will stop playing, but I can't stop if they don't guarantee my money, that there would be such pressure that might be a watershed moment that would shift the way in which they handle these injuries. Because how many guys that aren't Tua that make three that have Wiggy's career do well, but it's not generational money, and they are going to be done making money at the age of 32, have to keep playing.
But see, I don't think it's the money aspect of it, because I think Tua and the Dolphins would come to some type of agreement to say, okay, if Tua was like, I just can't do it anymore, even if he's cleared, right, by an independent doctor, I think if Tua said, I just can't do it anymore, that him and the Dolphins would come to some type of agreement saying, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll guarantee you $75 million of the $120 or whatever it is.
Why should he take a haircut on that?
Right. No,
because they're going to say, rather than us hold your feet to the fire by basically saying you are clear to play and us saying, well, we don't have to honor the contract, they come to a happy medium of, okay, here's what we could do. The problem becomes, I don't think Tua wants to walk away. That's the thing. Like somebody who's 26 years old, I think he's 26 or 27, who feels like they're in the prime of their career and feels like, you know what? Maybe I made the mistake not to slide, or maybe I slide in this situation moving forward. That
he
to me
did slide though the last time.
No, like no, in the game against against Buffalo, yeah, when he went head first, where he tells himself, next time I give myself up way earlier, here's how I fix this moving forward. I don't think he wants to walk away from the game.
Wiggy, I think if I feel like going forward, somebody can breathe on him and he's going to end up getting a concussion.
If this were your boys, what would you tell them to do?
If they were grown men,
yeah,
I would probably say, hey, listen, you know, I would say it might be time for you to walk away. But if they choose to continue to play, I understand I would play. I understand as a player, it would be extremely difficult for me to walk away.
Yeah.
If the doctor cleared me and I knew I could control, not control to where I'm not going to get any more concussions, but maybe say, okay, here's how I can put myself in the best possible place to maybe not get one, then I would obviously look into doing that.
All right, Courtney, thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I'm not going to subscribe. After watching the Patriots through the first 2 weeks of the season and watching the rest of the NFL, I'm not going to subscribe to the Patriots. They're in rebuilding mode, and we should just be happy. I'm kind of on board with they have a good enough team. And the league, there's no team that has stood out, and granted, I know it's early in the season, where I go, oh, they're just far superior, the Patriots can't compete. I know we talked about the Jets. After watching San Francisco and how they played against the Vikings, I look at this and saying, there's a realistic chance that if the Patriots can somehow put it together with their passing offense, that they could be a legitimate team that could, dare I say, make the playoffs
this season.
Yeah, if they could put their passing game together,
right,
because you've got defense, you can run the football,
yeah,
your coach looks like he knows what he's doing.
Uh-huh. So this is where you start to say you got to get Drake May in there, because Jacoby Brissett, you just can't count on him to throw the football.
Well, I don't think they have confidence in him. Mayo, you know, and I don't know if we're going to play it during. They said it for what he said they needed to start doing offensively after the game tells me that they might believe that maybe Jacoby can't do that at the way we would like him to do that, or be consistent or be accurate. I just feel like when you start to look at the league and you start looking at these games, is there a team right now, and I know it's early, but is there a team that you look at and go,
you think is going to run away with it?
Right.
I mean, no. I mean, the Niners are without McCaffrey for 6 weeks now or whatever.
Right.
They lost to the Vikings. Baltimore's
0-2.
Lions lost yesterday.
It is up and down. I mean, it is one thing Belichick was always right about was the first four games was really an extended preseason,
yeah,
ever since the new CBA where you can't really practice in training camp as much as you did. I understand what Wiggy's saying, but I really believe that Mayo always wanted to play Drake May. So
yeah,
if there is an opening, I don't think it's this week. I think it's still week five.
All right. Well, Gerard Mayo with us at 9 this morning, and we'll get to talk about all those things. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it.
appreciation lead from me this morning, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he took me to Pearl Jam last night.
Oh, here we go.
But I would just like to – there's a story that broke over the weekend in the New York Post in which a source or two explained why the Grosbeck family is selling the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
And it appears that there was a rift. This did not come up at all last night, or I'd share, you know, what with you guys this morning, what we talked about. But a rift between Wick and his dad and others, because this team is going to lose $80 million this year. So I would just like to, from a fan perspective, appreciate the fact that we have an owner in this city who, in this particular case, is going to lose $80 million while going at it, trying to repeat and win another title. And I wish that we had that with every single owner in this city.
Yeah. Hey, once that came out, I feel bad for, you know, being upset with Wick Grosbeck for that. Family situations come up, and that's hard behind the scenes, I'm sure. But if you are under pressure to sell a team because you're losing $80 million and you made that financial decision to better the program, to keep the franchise intact, then...
To win a title.
Well, yeah. Can somebody explain this to me? How are they losing $80 million and where? Like, is it just for... You know, keeping
they're paying two guys nearly $400 million.
Okay, so going over like the luxury tax and all that stuff.
Yeah, all of that stuff. So, I mean...
Isn't that part of winning a championship? Like, I would say, who's the guy that owns the Golden State Warriors?
I don't know his last name, but I was talking to Ken about this on Saturday. Like, they built their own arena in the most expensive city to build anything, and they're doubled the tax of the Celtics.
Isn't that the price of doing business?
I'm not saying they're not losing money. I'm just saying that there is ways very wealthy people make it seem like they're not doing as well, because if you get a lot of profits, then it hurts your tax return.
Yeah. Well, then you would have an issue, I guess, with Wick's dad. Like it.
I'm just talking about owning. It's a very profitable endeavor long term. Right. They've made a ton of money on the investment they initially made with the team.
Yeah.
Wick did a phenomenal job as a steward of that asset. And I think this story was leaked by the Fenway Sports Group. Guess it was in the New York Post, not the Boston Globe. It was an attempt to reduce the value of the franchise by pointing out how much money you were going to lose if you purchased it. That's just my guess. I don't know if it's true.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
But I threw it out there.
Yeah, it just seems like, because you think if you own a team like the Celtics, that of overall, you'd be making money, and it seems like that you're saying with this article, the reason why they're selling because they're losing money, where I ultimately think, and we never have any answers, but this is just my opinion, I feel like Wick, if he could, would not be selling this team.
Correct.
But obviously his father and, you know, have more of a say, which is the reason on why they're selling.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are our leads. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday, and we are going to get to They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports coming up next.